So in Esther chapter number 6, and we're going to read the first 10 verses, I think it is. Is it 10 verses?
Nine.
Okay, first 9 verses. Beg your pardon. So Esther chapter number 6, beginning verse number 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who's in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought to his thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set on his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Now we're going to stop our reading there, but in actuality, as you go through the rest of this chapter, you find 5 times that phrase, "whom the king delighteth to honor." 6 times if you want to count Haman paraphrasing it when he starts thinking about himself, but really we want to focus on that part there. "Whom the king delighteth to honor." And that word "delighteth" means desires. So we're going to look at that. "Whom the king delighteth to honor." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, once again for your blessings upon this day. We do pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to present your word the way that you'd have me to be a help to your people here. We do pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that they would make today the day, as it's so important, Lord. Help us, Father, please, to follow after your holy will, Lord, because we do indeed want you to take and delight in honoring us, Lord. Not because there's anything worthy of us, Lord, but because we're following your will. Help us, Lord, to do that. We love you, Lord, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So here in Esther chapter number 6, if I could summarize real quick for you here. Back there in chapter number 5, Haman had come out and he'd boasted to his wife and to his friends about all the abundance of wealth that he had amassed over the years, and how the king had just kept right on promoting him each step of the way. I mean, he wouldn't stay too long in that position, and the king would be promoting him yet again. And he was living high on the hog, Miss Betty. But then the problem was that Mordecai, the Jew, was still there, and he absolutely hated Mordecai. And so long as Mordecai was alive, he just could not find any real happiness in the things that he had in this life. So his wife suggested to him this idea of hers that she had just concocted to have the gallows built and hang Mordecai on those gallows. And that'll make everything just fine and dandy. And Haman will be able to go then and to the king, and he'll be able to have a good time now because he gotten that problem off of his mind. Well, as we said back then, the best laid plans of mice and men are subject to failure, and his plans are about to get sidetracked. See, because as we open up our reading here in Esther chapter number 6, we find that there's a debt that the king owes. He's owed it for an awfully long time, and he's just now found out about this debt. And dare I say, he's a little bit embarrassed that he still owes this debt. It's, after all, it's his life that was saved by Mordecai the Jew. Surprise, surprise. And he doesn't know how he can go about taking care of the subject. He'd been tired. He'd had them bring in the book of the records of everything that had taken place there in court, hoping to bore himself to sleep. And instead, he's wide awake now. So he needs to know what he can do to honor someone who he desires to honor. And we see, first of all, here in verse number 6, the inquirer. Verse number 6 tells us, "So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth or desires to honor?" Now, that's a pretty simple question there. What can the king possibly do? He doesn't know the man that he's going to deal with here. And he's embarrassed, as we said, that he didn't take care of this sooner. But I want you to notice something here. He doesn't start off by saying, "Hey, Haman, what's on your mind, Haman? What can I do for you, Haman? Hey, Haman, why are you here?" He says, "Haman, what can I do to take care of someone who I desire to honor?" Now, I'm sure, given of the pedigree that Haman had spoken about there in chapter number 5, that the king knows Haman pretty good. He knows that Haman likes his honor. He knows that Haman knows what it takes. So dare I say, the king realizes he's got an expert in front of him that can help him in this situation. Problem is, the expert has got things backward, and he thinks that it's going to be all about him. Church, God wants to honor us as well. Now, I don't mean by, you know, making us something great and fancy or anything like that. I mean that He wants to take care of His children. Now, obviously, sin will hinder God from being able to take care of us the way that He wants to, because we choose the sin over serving the Lord. But when we do choose to serve the Lord, when we do choose to seek Him and His will and His way, He'll take care of us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 8 through 11, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if the son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Now that's common sense here. When the child comes to the parent and says, "Hey, I'm hungry," you don't sit there and say, "Well, you know, here's a rock for you to eat. You know, chew on that for a little while." Right, Mary? You know? He doesn't say, "Oh, hey, you want a little bit of meat on that bread? Here, well, here's a serpent instead." You know, I remember Gracie, and a long time before we knew that she had cerebral palsy, and that was part of what was keeping her back from being able to talk to us. She had what we called accidental words. Suddenly she would come out and she'd say something in perfect English, and then she'd go right back to babbling. And I'm sitting there on the couch one Sunday morning, and I'm trying to get through the newspaper real quick, and she's sitting there at my feet, and she tapped me on the leg, and she made this gesture here. And I'm like, "Oh, you're hungry?" And she shook her head yes. She understood English. She understood English. I says, "Just wait, let me finish reading my article here." It's like, "Just wait, let me finish my article." "But I'm hungry." Clear as day, "But I'm hungry." And I looked at her and said, "Did you just say what I think you said?" She shook her head yes. I said, "Could you repeat that again?" She shook her head yes. I said, "Would you please repeat that again?" She's, "Yeah." And she's starting to get upset. She got a very sensitive spirit, my daughter. And I said, "Sweetie, I'll get you anything if you want if you'll repeat it again. If you'll just say it again, I'll go get you a lobster dinner right now if you'll just repeat those words," because she's over a year old. She hasn't spoken yet. I wanted to hear her speak. And of course, when I tell Mama this, and sorry, honey, I got to tell this. I tell her this, and she kind of laughs at it. And then after church, we get home, and I'm talking to my mother on the phone, and I'm telling her what Gracie had done that morning. And this one, as soon as I say that part about, "I'll go get you a lobster dinner if you want," this one speaks up and says, "I'm hungry." It don't work that way. But you know what? With God it does, church. If we will take and be obedient to Him and what He wants for us, He will answer our need. In fact, it goes on to say here in verse number 11 of Matthew 7, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask Him? He wants us to come and be proper inquirers of our own. Bring our petitions to our Heavenly Father. Tell Him what is our problem there so that He can help us out. But if we sit back and we just sit, God already knows, I don't need to tell Him again. We're not acting in faith. We're not using prayer. And He's given us both of these, prayer and faith, so as that we can get what we need, so as that He can bring honor to us, so as that He can be a help to us. But we've got to bring our petitions to Him, believing that He will answer, or it's never going to get answered, church. The king says, hey, I need to know how I can go about doing this. Now, fortunately, God does know how to go about doing this, but we've got to bring our petitions to Him. But may I say, while we're doing that, we need to avoid going on an ego trip. In second half of verse number 6 and verse 7 says, now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Haman's on an ego trip. He does certainly know what it would take for him to feel honored. And he certainly is the man who would be able to answer the king in his inquiry about what can I do to honor somebody. But he's focusing all about himself. It's me, 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 me. And that's all I want to talk about is me. And that's all there is to it. And if we aren't careful, we go to God in prayer, and it's all we do is focus on us and our needs and our problems at the time and what we want and what we desire and everything else, we're going to short-circuit ourselves. As a matter of fact, James says that really good for us there. Over in James chapter number 4. Let me turn over there real quick. The Lord just brought this to mind. James chapter number 4, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. And that word amiss means badly. That ye may consume or waste it upon your lust. God says, you come to me correctly with this. You bring your petitions the right way. You don't go on an ego trip, and we can go places. But if you're going to go on an ego trip, you are going to take a long walk off a short board. Okay, you know how the pirates would have you walk off the plank there, and it's down into the water. Okay, we don't want to end up with something like that, but Haman's operating that way. He is operating by what he sees. He sees the next opportunity for him. He's already prime minister. You know, maybe the king wants to give him just at least a little bit more bump here in the resume. Presumption, may I say, had blinded him. And presumption will blind us, church. Now, Philippians 4:19 still says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's still in the Bible. It is still there. Praise God. It's always going to be there. However, there are those who abuse the daylights out of that. And they say, well, I need me a new car. I need me this. I need me that. Oh, I just got to have that. And they miss the fact that word need does not mean your wants. It means those things that you actually do need, that you require. We get our wants and our desires mixed up with our needs. And church, we need to keep a better, closer eye on that, or we're going to end up in trouble. And Haman ended up in a lot of trouble. And there's a lot of preachers out there. We call them prosperity preachers. And they abuse the daylights out of Philippians 4:19. Paul wasn't in a good place when he wrote the book of Philippians, church. He was in jail. And it was a Roman jail. It wasn't these jails like we got nowadays where you've got more rights in jail than your victim out on the street. This was nasty. And Paul says, you know what? I've learned whatever state I am therewith to be content. And he wrote that there in jail, church. So whatever state we're in, we've got to learn to be content. Content to wait on the Lord. Content to trust Him. It's hard, believe me. I know it's hard to do it. But if we'll avoid the ego trip, that God just has to do something, and He's got to do it our way, in our time, and He's got to do it right now. If we'll avoid that, we can see a lot more things happen in our lives. It's difficult, but we can do it. May I say, besides that ego trip in the Inquirer, we see the explanation. Verse 8, in the first half of verse 9, Haman says this: "Let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array or dress the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor." Haman held nothing back. The king asked for a suggestion, Miss Betty, and Haman went all in. And none of it was his. He wanted everything from the king. He wanted the king's own personal possessions to be used. His own best Sunday go-to-meeting clothes to be put on him. He wanted the king's very crown to be taken from the king and placed upon this person. The king's personal horse that the king would ride on going off into battle. Someone should put that special man whom the king delights to honor on that horse, with those clothes, with the king's royal crown. And then one of the king's most noble princes should have to humble himself and get down there and lead the horse through town, through the marketplace, through the plaza, and humiliate himself by proclaiming, "Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." You know what? I do believe Haman was a whole lot more than just on an ego trip. I believe, using these verses right here, that this is proof that Haman actually was after the very throne of Medo-Persia. That he was after every last thing possible. He wasn't content to be the prime minister of the empire. He wanted it all. And that reminds me, over there in the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 14, verses 12 to 14, God had the prophet write this: "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now we can easily sit back here and say, "Man, Satan did all that. How terrible of Satan." But I'd never do anything like that. Yeah. We could easily sit here and say that. We could easily sit here and say, "Well, I'm not in a position like Haman where I'm so high ranking that I'm the prime minister of an empire, the second greatest empire that had existed in history at this time." And say, "Well, I'm not going to make a play for that throne." But church, I want you to know something. Every time we think more highly of ourselves, every time when we decide that we've got to force our way, that we've got to have our will and our way in our lives, we're doing the exact same thing. Well, we may not sit down and explain exactly how we're going to depose God from the throne of our heart, but we can be doing the exact same thing because we're kicking Him out of our heart. Every time we sit here and not just go into sin, but become bedfellows with sin by having to sit here and just constantly roll around in the exact same sin and embrace it and love it and care for it and caress it and help it to grow in our lives, we've displaced God so that we can have our wants and desires instead of Him. It's the exact same thing there, church, that I'm trying to explain to us, that we all need to be on the lookout as to how we are treating God in our lives. Haman was treating King Ahasuerus very poorly at this moment, and Ahasuerus wasn't very bright, it would seem, because he allowed Haman to get away with this. But God is a whole lot smarter, and God's not going to take that abuse. Well, He may let us get away with it for a while, but He's going to make us come correct eventually. He might take us out to His spiritual woodshed. He might beat the tar out of us. He might even just go ahead and take us on home. It's happened before. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to see that here in a little bit here. But church, we need to mind our P's and Q's. We need to know our place when it comes to God so as that He can take delight and honor us. The second half of verse number 8, we see the echo of what's taking place here. Verse 9, the second half says, "And bring him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." What he did here was he says, "I'm going to show you, have you, King, show everybody out here how it is you go about honoring someone." Now you can have a good echo and you can have a bad echo. A good echo, you can hear it nice and clearly and strongly, powerfully, and it gets the job done. You can also have a bad echo that distorts and it fades and you can't hear it quite as well. Now, admittedly, this is a dining room. It's not a theater or anything like that, so my voice does not carry quite like it would in an auditorium. So it's diminished a little, so they're not getting the full effect throughout the whole building. Some parts, yes. Okay? But in a theater, in an amphitheater, and that sort of thing, you get an echo, a reverberation of the words being said, and it will carry forth. Let me show you a good, positive example. And that's when we take, and God does something wonderful in our lives, and we echo it by giving praise to Him, and we're letting others know what God has done for us. There's nothing wrong with that when we are praising the Lord for what He's done. Daniel chapter number 6, beginning of verse number 19, says, "Then the king rose very early in the morning." And this is after Daniel's been thrown into the lion's den. "And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God." May I say right there, that's an echo right there. That Daniel had lived such a life that pleased God, that showed God, that witnessed of God, that even the king of Medo-Persia here, this is a few years before Ahasuerus comes on the scene, but he recognized that Daniel's God was living. And that Daniel's God could do something for him. He says, "Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." May I say that that's a praise report right there. That is letting people know what God had done in Daniel's life. And those are the type of echoes that we need to see going on more in our lives. And that we let people know what God can do for them if they'll only submit to Him. But a bad echo we see over in the book of Acts chapter number 5. And we're not going to read that for the sake of time at this moment. But there in Acts chapter number 5, we read about a husband and wife combo, Ananias and Sapphira. And they are coming on here right after Barnabas had sold his land and he'd given the money to the apostles so they could help take care of all the folks there in the area. And people had begun to follow suit. And everybody was praising the Lord and everybody was living together and common and all that. And everything was going great. And Ananias and Sapphira got this idea in their heads that they can get double praise. They can get double honor, Miss Mary. What they do is they sell the land. We'll say they sold it for $2,000. And it's their money. It was their land. They sold it, their money. And they decide they're going to give part of it to the church. No problem. It's their money. They can do with what they want. And Peter told them that. But the thing is that they went and they told the church and they... we'll make up another number. They sold it for $1,500, and here's all $1,500 of the property. They kept $500 back. Now that's no problem that they give $1,500 and they kept $500. The problem was they lied about it. The problem was that they were seeking after their own glory, after their own honor. They were doing things their own way, and the Holy Spirit called them on it, and Ananias dropped over dead just like that. And they took him out and buried him, and his wife Sapphira came a few hours later looking for her no good husband. And Peter said to her, "Hey, did you really sell the land for X number of dollars?" And she said, "Oh yes, you better believe it." thinking they pocketed that 500. They pulled one over on God. Remember, church, God is not mocked. And that's what exactly what they tried to do. They tried to present a false echo of how the king had honored them and how they were honoring the king. And Peter said that to Sapphira there, is the very same people who just buried her husband, their feet are at the door right now and they're going to take and bury you too. And she fell over dead just like that. All because she tried giving off a bad echo. Church, we need more people to be like Daniel. We need more people who are going to stand up and honor the King of Kings no matter what happens, no matter what they've got to go through, instead of sitting here saying, well, really, it's all about me. And Haman was saying, it's all about me. And what happens when we make it all about us? We're going to end up with some embarrassment. Back there in Esther chapter number 6, verse number 10 says this, "Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said." Oh, that sounds pretty good so far, don't it? Yeah, oh yeah. "And do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast done." I could just picture Miss Betty, Haman's jaw dropping and hitting the ground. What? Him? No, I didn't just hear that right. Oh, the same one that sits at the king's gate. Yeah, that's him. Oh, man. And he says here, "Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." He was embarrassed because it was his enemy that he was having to do this honor. This very honor that he had just described, that he thought was going to be prescribed to himself, ended up being ascribed to somebody else. His enemy on top of it. And then on top of that, the king says, "Don't you dare take any shortcuts. I've got your checklist, son." He says, "Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." In other words, boy, I'm going to check up on you. Don't miss a thing. Get it all done there. My soul, horrible thing for a Christian when God has us do that exact same thing to a non-Christian or to somebody who that we're at odds with. When we've got to sit there and we've got to honor them, we've got to go and do something for them when we thought God was going to do it for us instead. Embarrassment there. And he says, the embarrassment was because he had to lead the horse through the very place that he'd enjoyed riding through. In verse 11, "Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city." And I looked up that phrase there, street of the city. And Miss Betty, that means through the plaza. The very same place that Mordecai liked to ride through on his horse while he's being led through. Yes, that's right. All of you need to bow before me. Remember, bow the knee. You know, we found that back there in chapter number 3. Come on, bow the knee. I'm waiting on you. Let's go. Chop, chop. Nope. Now Haman's the one down there. And Mordecai's sitting up on high. And he had to announce, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." We can save ourselves the embarrassment, church, if we will just know and accept our place. God told Ezekiel over in chapter number 17 of his book, verse number 24, "And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree." By the way, church, the Bible does compare us not only to sheep, but to trees. And it says here, "I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." In other words, everything that was going one way, I've turned it inside out, upside down, turned it on its ear. We've gone through the looking glass here, and it's the exact opposite of what we thought it should be, but it's the exact same way that God knows that it should be, church. And if we will take and follow the Lord, we're going to have things work out for us in the end. Will it come in our time? Who knows? Will it come our way? Who knows? Will it be God's way in God's time? Yes. But we've got to submit to Him. And when we do submit to Him, we will find the empowerment that He's got for us. Verse number 13 of Esther chapter 6 says, "And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him." He had had to tell them all about how he walked in there wanting to do one thing, get permission to hang Mordecai, and instead he tells the king how he should go about honoring Mordecai without even realizing it. How he had to sit there, Miss Mary, and lead Mordecai through the very same place that he enjoyed going through.
and how he'd been totally embarrassed. He told them all this. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him." Mordecai was a Jew, a member of God's chosen people, and he was getting his act together. Remember there at the beginning of the book, it don't look like Mordecai and Esther that they've been living as true Jews, because no one knew that Esther was a Jewish woman. There's no mention of God by name in this book. There's no mention of faith in this book here. But yet we see God's providential hand is moving. And I believe it's because Mordecai, he's beginning to get his act together. He's beginning to get right with the Lord. Just as Samson did when he was grinding wheat there in the mill of the Philistines. The Bible records how his hair began to grow again. And that was a sign, an outward sign, that he was getting his heart right with God at the same time. And I believe Mordecai's doing it as well. This whole mess had been started because he had been just a little bit too proud. But now he's gotten back to God. He's gotten his heart humbled again. Because as a child of the King of Kings, church, I want you to know we can get empowerment so that our enemies can't stand before us for very long. Well, they might stand up to us, but if we will bow and kneel before the throne of heaven, we're going to get to see some results, church. Again, it's hard, it's difficult. I'm preaching to the choir here, I know that. Certainly preaching to myself. But church, if we'll follow God, He can do it. Death and hell and Satan's plans, they were all defeated by Jesus there when He rose up from the grave and He left that empty tomb behind. And if He can do that, He certainly can take care of our need. God will delight to empower us when we do just as Mordecai did and get back to Him. Let me close with this verse. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 6. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." But that's the key, ain't it? We got to humble ourselves before God. We're humans. We don't like to do that. We think we can bull our way through, that we can force things, that we can buy our way, that we can finagle things, this, that, and the other. But God says, "Humble yourself, and I can take care of you. Don't do it, and you're going to have yourself a problem." Just a couple of questions for you this morning and a statement in closing. As we sit here today, is God delighting to honor us? Or do we have some issues that need to be resolved first? The second question is, let me ask you this. As a child of the King, if not, are you a child of the King? If not, now's the time to be born again. Now's the time to accept Jesus as your Savior. Because He can't take delight in you if you're not one of His. And my statement is this. Pride goes before destruction, but humility comes before honor. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we thank You, God, once again for the joy and privilege of getting to be here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center. We do pray, Father, for Your blessings upon this time. And pray, Lord, that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That if they don't, that they would make today the day. We thank You, Lord, once again for the fine folks here opening their home to us to allow us to have this brief church service. And we pray, Lord, You bless them mightily for it. And for those who were able to come out here, that You bless them as well. Thank You, God, for being so good to us. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.